The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Hey, we're back. Final hour. Blake Topmeyer joining us shortly. Mike is in Orlando. You begin the program this hour with us. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I heard something about this media thing that's really concerned me. And I don't know where I saw it, but there was NBC had said that they were doing a wanting to do a college football game and a doubleheader, follow it with an NFL game on Saturday night. And that is concerning, the NFL on college football Saturday nights.
I don't think that's going to happen, Mike, because the media right deals are already in place for the NFL. And I think they would find themselves in a depreciated market because there's so much. The NFL would win, but yeah. Right now, let's move ahead 2 years with this new Big Ten deal. You're going to have a game on ABC, NBC, Fox, ESPN, ESPN2, the SEC Network, the ACC Network, the Big Ten Network. I mean, there's just going to be a glut of college football on, and I think that will still cut in. So I don't think I think right now you have Thursday, you have, and by the way, the NFL has really destroyed college football on Thursday night. That used to be a big night. Mm-hmm. It is now an afterthought. But Sunday and Monday night are their big nights.
I only watch college. I don't watch NFL. I don't care for it. I do hear you more now than I used to, more live time. I used to record all the time and catch up on the weekends, but I'm retired now, and so I'm more live listening to you. So,
well, thank you.
Caller, obviously.
Mike, thank you very much, and we hope to talk to you again very soon. You be well. How about Brando in Alabama? Hello, Brando.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
That's great. Well, I was trying to think of somebody that might step in for Eli that might do pretty good. And Vern Lundquist was it one choice. But I think Professor Cream would do a great job because he knows football. And he knows football pretty, frequent. So, and he's been in coaching pretty soon,
Brando. First of all, I think there's still great hope that Eli would come back, but I feel certain that Chris Stewart is the choice to take over right now, and I don't think that is going to change. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. Brian is in South Carolina. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, Bubba?
We're doing okay. Thank you.
Hey, man, I appreciate you. Yeah, Tom, you're talking to me and stuff, and I love your show.
Thank you.
I just want to talk a little bit about South Carolina and the Gamecocks. I feel like Shane Beamer, he really did well in the transfer portal. He got some key pieces to the puzzle because you remember last year we went 7-6, but we had a revolving door at quarterback. We played four different quarterbacks during the whole season. But I feel like this year Shane Beamer, I really feel like we have a chance to win the SEC East. I say that because I buy Phil Steele's book, breaks down all the teams.
Yeah.
I see where Georgia only returns 5 on offense and 3 on defense. And Georgia, to me, is the biggest hurdle in the SEC East because, I mean, you got the tradition with Kirby Smart. Not taking anything from Kentucky, but we had them on the ropes last year with a revolving door at quarterback, and I just wanted to get that in, and I'll listen to you off there. Thank you, Paul.
Hey, thank you, Brian. I agree with you in terms of I think the team is going to be really good, but as many have pointed out since media days, it's really the schedule that is the enemy of South Carolina in having a really great year. Now, to get to where you think they're going, that you have to pull upsets. And we saw last year that South Carolina is capable of that. I think they'll be better this year with Rattler. Hey, thank you very much. Dave is up next in Colorado. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I really enjoy your show.
I retired, but on Mondays I channel my inner Forrest Gump and mow the city's parks for
oh,
about
wow.
12 hours a day.
That's serious work.
Yeah, it's hot, but to make it better, I pull up the PF podcast and catch up on episodes that I've missed from the previous week.
Oh, wonderful.
And it also, the advantage also is that when AC comes on, I can just scan through and fast
yeah.
forward.
Yeah, that is a little known trick that some of you should use when you do listen to the podcast the next day or later. We should make it easier for you. We should just take out some of those calls.
That would be nice. But I called to ask you a question I'll get to here. My son and I started going to big-time college football games after we retired. And unfortunately, you can't find that in Colorado anymore.
So, no.
No. In 2018, we went to Auburn and really had a great experience, very hospitable people. Enjoyed the Tiger Walk and War Eagle and just the pageantry there. And saw LSU come in and upset Auburn.
Oh, that's a great matchup.
Yeah, it was fun. And then in 2019, we went to Georgia and really enjoyed that and watched South Carolina come in and upset
the Dogs. Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember that.
So I'm not sure anybody's going to invite us again because...
Yeah, I remember being at... we did our show that morning from Athens, and we all left town because we said, this is going to be a terrible game.
Yeah, yeah. And
so you are you are do you do this every couple of years or every year? How do you decide what when and where?
Well, we started there in 2018. We're doing it every year, but then we skipped the last 2 years
sure.
because of the pandemic.
Right.
But we're back on it this year, and so my son has the September 24th weekend off. And we want your and maybe your caller's opinion
okay.
on what game to choose. And so here's my list. I'm going from my worst to first, and I'll let you tell me what you think. So Texas at Texas Tech. Not sure I want to go to Lubbock.
No.
Boston College at Florida State. Wisconsin at Ohio State.
Ooh.
Actually, I've got Clemson at Wake Forest before that. Wisconsin at Ohio State would be rank ahead of that. And then my personal favorite would be to fly to Knoxville early Thursday morning, rent a car, and drive to Blacksburg for West Virginia at Virginia Tech on Thursday night. Mess around on Friday. And drive back to Knoxville, and then on Saturday go to Florida, Tennessee. You might have some experience with.
Yeah, and I tell you what, that is really the Blacksburg experience on a Thursday night would be very cool. First of all, what you're doing there, anything Knoxville East is going to be gorgeous because. You have the mountains to deal with, and it is pretty. Although I'm trying, I really don't know the route to Blacksburg. I don't know if you go through the Smokies or you go north. I'll have to double check. But I would go through the Smokies just for fun. There's a pretty good chance we're going to be in Knoxville that weekend too. So if you do that, we would be delighted to have you come by the show either Friday or Saturday morning. So I am. Call me biased, but I'm voting for Florida, Tennessee.
Yeah, I it looks like Florida's going to be good this year, and from your callers there in Tennessee, they think the world of Tennessee. So I think that if we can get 2-for-1, that would be great.
I really like that, and I have never been to a game in so the game's in Blacksburg. Is that correct?
Yes.
I would think that would be just a phenomenal experience, knowing so many people who have gone to school there, and I would lean toward that. And late September, it's the weather in Knoxville and the East Tennessee is going to be a little nicer than it is today. If you've never, I mean, you don't need the mountains because you live in Colorado, but for those of us who went to school there, that was a big deal. But I would, I think that's going to be a really cool, a cool atmosphere for the Florida-Tennessee game. I don't know yet. I suspect it will be a late afternoon game because I think that's probably the biggest game of that weekend. So do me this. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be there that weekend. Check in with us a little bit later and let us know what your plans are. Thank you very, very much. Speaking about somebody that lives in Knoxville, Blake Topmeyer joining us in a few minutes with his take on the SEC as camps are well underway. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Busy day here with all the Big Ten news. Not over yet, perhaps. Blake Topmeyer joining us. He writes, of course, for USA Today. Blake, good to have you on. There's so much I want to talk to you about relating to the SEC, but I do want to get your reaction to this news that has not been made official yet, but it is obviously a fait accompli that it will be, and what it means that the Big Ten is on the verge of a $1 billion television deal. Good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Paul. First reaction is, do they still issue like the TV guide listings for what channel games are on every week? Because, you know, we can look at the dollars and cents of this all and debate, you know, who's getting the better deal, the SEC or the Big Ten, which network's getting the best deal. But, you know, one of the things that I first think about is just we talk all the time about some of the evolving traditions in college sports, and you're now soon going to have a conference featuring two teams from California in the same league as a team from New Jersey, and you can throw television right in with that evolving tradition, right? I mean, how strange is it going to be to see a season in which no Big Ten games are featured on ESPN or ABC? I mean, that's a tradition spanning back, what is it, like 4 decades?
Yes.
Now? And meanwhile, it's going to be such a different sight to not see the SEC on CBS. And now we might see the Big Ten on CBS. So, again, past all the dollars and cents of it all, it's just another example, I think, of how much change and evolution is going on in college sports, and no traditions are sacred anymore, certainly not when television dollars are involved.
No, of course not. And Blake, I mean, there's already a glut of television on a Saturday night, and now you're adding two more windows to that already. And I'm not really sure what it's going to look like, but and we just had Professor Coates on about an hour ago, who argued the original case in front of the Supreme Court that opened the door for all this deregulation in television. And it's just amazing to think about where we are. And I am curious, and nobody knows this answer, but the SEC is affected by all this in a couple of ways. The CBS deal, will it go away early? Does it mean anything to Texas and Oklahoma? What does it mean to expansion? I realize there's a lot to digest and unpack there, but how do you think the SEC is most affected, though, by what we're hearing about in relation to the Big Ten?
Well, I think, again, looking beyond dollars and cents, the SEC is going to have everything under one umbrella now, and I might be preaching to the choir here. I think ESPN has been a very powerful, a very valuable broadcast partner for the SEC, particularly when the SEC was rolling out its conference network, which we're appearing in here on now. I mean, I think ESPN was a valuable partner to have. So if you're going to go it alone with the right network, or with one network, I think ESPN and the SEC have been a good marriage. On the other hand, what is the value to having your content sprinkled across multiple platforms, multiple networks? I think there are probably arguments for each side. I think in the end, you know, the Big Ten might get some more value in terms of dollars and cents from its deal. But what is the value of being on ESPN? I mean, whether we like it or not, I think it's undeniable that ESPN helps set the conversation around sports. And to me, one of the questions I have for this, regardless of how good a deal it might be financially for the Big Ten, is, is there any cost, and I'm not talking about dollars cost, but is there any cost in not having any of your games on ESPN? Because as I said, we know that network helps set the conversation around sports. I mean, just look at the NHL. When the NHL for years was not on ESPN and the effect that it had on that sport. So I do wonder, you know, is there some value that the Big Ten is losing out on beyond the revenue aspect of things, you know, by not being on the ESPN, whereas the SEC now has ESPN as its exclusive home?
Yeah, and Blake, it's impossible to disagree, and I certainly wouldn't, considering where I am. I'd probably get ejected out of my chair. But you. I mean, I'm sure if you're sitting there in the position at ESPN, and you have the valuable commodity in the morning, such as College Game Day, you do have to be worried, though, that a large number of people who would normally watch may not be watching anymore because there'll be competition. And they're not going to be talking about your games.
Well, no question, it's going to change things, Paul. And I think it certainly increases, I don't know if you want to say the pressure, but the importance on ESPN to have a strong SEC game out of the gate.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, with SEC football, we are more accustomed to, in some respects, the day kind of got started at 3:30 on CBS, and then you transition into a night game on the mothership and another one that over the years has become a pretty good game on the SEC network. And there would be games in that noon Eastern slot. But again, from the SEC's perspective, in a way, and I've done this before when I'm covering a night game, like I spend the morning, you know, that noon kickoff slot. I got three TVs going and maybe there's only one SEC game on because I'm keeping an eye on the other action out there, and oftentimes there's better games. Now, you know, I think ESPN has to take a look at that and say, hey, we got to have a strong SEC game in that noon Eastern time programming call.
What do you think it means, Blake, and this is always the moving target here, in relation to Notre Dame expansion and everything that we've been talking about all summer?
I mean, I think with Notre Dame, they've made their preference clear. I think they prefer to be independent, and until they're forced to do otherwise, they're going to stay independent. And I think in the last few weeks, with some of the reports we've heard with Notre Dame and NBC, I I guess I feel less strongly than I did maybe a month ago that Notre Dame will wind up in a conference. I continue to think that there's not been enough push either financially or from the college football playoff or really on any front to get Notre Dame to join a conference, which obviously there's varying opinions about. But, you know, Notre Dame is different, I think, from a lot of schools and athletic departments in I'm not sure the number one guiding principle is necessarily always money and television contracts. Now, we might be naive to think that that's not among the most powerful drivers, but I do think the equation is a little bit different for Notre Dame. And, it, you know, it's like their hand is going to have to be forced at some point, I think, to make them finally join a conference. And that's why I wonder if the real avenue to get Notre Dame in a conference may come through the college football playoff, because up to this point, Notre Dame has never been penalized for being an independent. You know, with the playoff as it stands now, four bids all going in the at-large selection process in the previous iterations of the way college football has determined its national champion, none of those formats ever held Notre Dame at a disadvantage for being independent. So as long as that remains the case going forward, as long as Notre Dame believes it can make the financials work, I think my bet would probably be at this point on Notre Dame remaining as independent as long as it can.
It seemed today winners and losers are always easy to come up with. Pac-12, Big 12 probably have a better situation now with television partners. But the one league that, to me, Blake, just keeps falling farther behind in quicksand is the ACC, who has this endless contract now with ESPN, and it just seems like they fell farther behind today.
I think that's right, Paul. I think, you know, when UCLA and USC got raided from the Pac-12, the immediate knee-jerk reaction was, well, is the Pac-12 going to fold? You know, what does this mean for the Big 12, et cetera? And then I think as the dust settled, it started to become clear that that while, yes, it's a bleaker day for the Pac-12 today than it was 2 months ago, much like the situation the Big 12 was in around this time last year, I actually think you're better off in some ways being one of those two conferences where you have the ability to negotiate a new television deal than being in the ACC situation where you're locked into that grand rights agreement for another more than a decade. So, yes, I would agree with that, that the real loser in all of this, this television wheeling and dealing, remains the ACC, because they have a deal that locks them up long term, and yet that deal is not financially putting the conference on an anywhere similar platform to where the SEC and the Big Ten are going to be.
The football season is around the corner. I know you've been writing about the usual suspects, Alabama and Georgia. It's impossible to miss that. We are showing your headline from the story today about Kirby Smart and Nick Saban and rebuilding. Help us understand what Georgia is facing this year.
Yeah, it was interesting last week, Paul, when Nick Saban apparently raised some eyebrows by saying Alabama had a rebuilding year last year. And I guess it raised eyebrows simply because Alabama has repositioned what a rebuilding year looks like, because I didn't really take any issue with what Saban said. I think it was true when you consider what was lost from that 2020 team. Alabama had to replace its starting quarterback, starting running back, its top two receivers off 2020, three starting offensive linemen, some key defensive players. So I think, yeah, it was fair to say that Alabama was rebuilding by a lot of the criteria that we would use for that term last season. It's just that Alabama in a rebuilding year, we still expect them to make the college football playoff, which they usually do. We still expect them, you know, to contend for SEC titles and win 10 plus games, which, you know, they've now had 14 straight seasons of at least 10 wins. And to me, that's now the challenge that Georgia faces. Look, Kirby Smart has proven it. He can get to the top of the mountain. But one of the most remarkable things about Alabama's dynasty, to me, is what they do in seasons when they don't win the national championship. Saban now has three runner-up finishes, and I know they're not going to celebrate those the way they do national titles, nor should they. But point being, Alabama is in the mix every year. We expect them to be in the mix every year, and I think Kirby Smart welcomes those expectations at Georgia. He was given the chance last week to say Georgia is in rebuilding mode, and of course he didn't. He still likes his team, and I think he welcomes the expectation to get back to the playoff this year. But the reality is Georgia must replace 15 guys who were selected in the NFL draft. And I know they've been recruiting well, and I know they've been developing well, but Alabama has been that one exception that year over year really doesn't take much of a step back, regardless of how much it's loses through the NFL draft. Other programs, even programs that have risen to a season or two of greatness, oftentimes have had to take that step back after enduring such a talent turnover, and that's the challenge for Georgia this year. But I will say, if there's any other program that's as well positioned as Alabama to maintain that and not take much of a step back, it's Georgia, and that's because of the way Kirby Smart has recruited and developed.
Fabulous conversation. As always, Blake Topmeyer from USA Today. We are heading to the break. Thank you very much, Blake. We'll be back. Your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back, and let's try to get going here with some calls. The final few minutes. Let's check in with Elliot in Ohio. Hey. Hello, Elliot.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to call and say I love your show because it's not what you say, it's what you don't say. And you made it clear yesterday that I don't know crap about college football. And you're 100% right. But here's the deal. Here's what I do agree with you. Is the stance you took today on your calls concerning racism, that was number one. Second thing that I got to say, go ahead.
No, thank you. I've had a lot of people say that maybe I should have listened to the guy more, but I heard enough.
Yeah, I don't know if Jeff is from the Southern Conference or the Big Ten after that call. I'm not sure. But the other thing, I've been calling ever since you made a comment to me about relevance of Ohio State. And I'd say they're relevant now. I'd say 1,000% relevant because I think Gene Smith had so much to do with everything that's happening.
Well, a really strong athletic director does matter. It helps if you have a president that will back you, but he has made a big difference up there.
No, I think I questioned Gene Smith, and this is when I questioned him, is when he didn't stand behind Jim Tressel. I think that the entire organization knew what was going down with those players, and it wasn't fair for Jim Tressel to take the fall without some backing. But Gene Smith has won my heart, and he's 100%.
You know, I will say this, though, Elliot. Jim Tressel managed one of the better comebacks I've ever seen. I mean, he was a really good football coach, and he ended up being a college president, which is highly unusual to get fired as a football coach and end up being a university president.
No, there's tons of respect for him and everything he did. It's a shame he didn't get to continue, and I don't know why he gave up, but he should have just fought.
Well, I remember that he got that story was leaked to Sports Illustrated. It boomeranged, and it was over before he knew what hit. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Gino in California. Hello, Gino.
Hey, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
I called you 2 weeks ago. That was the first time I ever called you. I had never heard of your show before, like a year ago, when I was searching the channels in a little town called Manchester, Tennessee, when I was visiting my friend. He is a huge Alabama fan, even though he grew up in Tennessee, and I don't understand why. I was wondering maybe you could explain that to me.
No.
I've seen a lot of cars with Alabama stickers and everything in Tennessee.
Well, Gino, I think what happens is when you win as much as Alabama has won, you draw fans. It's like, you know, why did the Dallas Cowboys become America's team? Why did the Braves? Go down the list anywhere you want to go. And I agree. I mean, no matter where I am in the country, I see Alabama paraphernalia. But I think some of that is Saban related, and they are, you know, in many ways America's team in college football. So I think that would be my best explanation.
Okay, I have a correction for you as well. I hope you like critique. And corrections. Earlier you said a fait accompli, you know, the Latin expression.
Yes.
And it's a fait accompli.
Well, that's why I'm a talk show host and not a lawyer.
Right. Well, have a great day.
Thank you. Au revoir.
Bye-bye.
Let's check out Don, who is in Florida. Hello, Don.
Yeah, Paul, I just heard your discussion about the Cale Gundy situation in Oklahoma, and you made a misstatement or a lie one. I don't know what your background is on that situation, but you said Venables fired him. Venables didn't fire him. The coach resigned, and Venables accepted his resignation.
Don, you really want to start debating over semantics of why a coach after 20 years leaves?
No, I'm just wondering.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think he was given a choice?
I don't know, because I don't have that information. Do you?
I would make a pretty educated guess based on Venable's statement the next day when he amended his previous statement that Gundy had no option other than to offer a resignation or he would have been summarily fired.
But what about his daughter?
What about his daughter?
Her claim that Venables had shut the team down from discussing it with anybody. When a majority of the team, supposedly, from all information, wanted him to stay.
Well, Don, let me say this, and I don't know the daughter, but I do know I have seen countless social media posts from daughters, from Nick Saban's daughter to others' daughters, and I respect any relationship between a father and a daughter, but as somebody who grew up as a journalist, I don't put a lot of stock in what daughters of coaches say on social media.
Well, you obviously put a lot of stock in something because you came out right and called the man a racist. And
No, that's not exactly – that's not true, Don. I said when you repeat a racial pejorative multiple times, and I'm quoting now from the head football coach at Oklahoma, Brent Venables – that would put you in the crosshairs of being considered or having racial tendencies or racist tendencies. I'll leave it there. I appreciate your call very much. Thank you. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.